Steve Hunter.
Okay. Okay, this is the second part of the class on March 31st. Where is Hung Li and Ming? Okay, so now we look in the grammar section. This starts on page 50. Okay, so first we're having here the declension of, this is the pronoun meaning this and these. So this, sort of the stem form is ima, which forms the nominative masculine ayang. So you have the singular here, and then you have the table for the plural. So these you just have to know. You know, look over them. I don't think immediately you have to memorize them, but you see, you get familiar already. You know from, say, the masculine with the short A. So you know the indirect cases like buddhasa. So you see genitive, dative, imasa or asa, very similar. Instrumental, we know buddhena. So here you have anena or imina. Actually, imina is much more common. Then the ablative, just like we have buddhamha or buddhasma. So here we have imamha, imasma, asma. And we have the locative for buddhe or dhamme. So here we have similar forms, buddhe, buddhasmin, buddhamhi. So here we have imasmin, imamhi. So you see, once you get familiar with one form, one system of declension, you can recognize a lot. Okay, then they give the full declension of the word for cow. You don't have to memorize all of these, but just when you see a word that means cow, be able to identify the case. See, the word for cow is just very important in Indian culture because the Indian traditional culture depends very much on the cow. So you might know the word Govinda. It actually means Lord of Cattle. It's one of the names for Krishna, is Govinda.
I heard that's Krishna's vehicle, the cow.
Probably so.
I seem to remember in the Pali Grammar we had the word gavi for cow. Gavi.
Oh, gavi.
But it doesn't seem to be at all on this table. G-A-V-I.
Maybe that's the feminine for a female cow, maybe. They give it there as feminine?
Well, the Pali Grammar doesn't have the gender. It gives Gavi and Denu.
Yeah, Denu is another word, not so common. Well, it occurs, but Gavi or Gavo is the main word. Go, Gavo. Okay, then we have the gerund, which we've already learned the gerund from the Pali Primer. Do you know the function of the gerund? I'll just repeat it. When there is a series of actions being performed, the actions that are performed first are indicated by the gerund. So, to use an English example, like we would say, the boy went to the store, bought a carton of milk. came back home and drank the milk. But in Pali, it would be like saying, the boy, having gone to the store, having bought milk, having returned home, drank the milk. So that having done this, having done that, that is the gerund. And then something I disagree with in the book here, they say for bhavati, they give the gerund bhavit va, but I don't recall ever seeing this. You see, the verb bhavati is usually represented in Pali by the verb hoti. What happens in Pali is that first the B gets dropped. It seems it could have just been through habits of speech. And then the AVA sort of gets compressed into an O, so you get hoti. And then the gerund that goes with hoti is hutva. Hutva is very common. Bhavitva, I don't know that I've ever seen it. Just out of curiosity, you could do a test for it. Oh, it does, actually it does occur, I'm sorry. Wow, it does occur, so I have to sort of swallow my words. Let's see where it occurs. Yeah, it does occur occasionally.
How did you search this, Bhante?
This is that, it's called the Sixth Council Tripitaka 4.0. Then it has this, oops, I lost it, a search box for words. So I put in, then to get that longa, I have to copy the letter from the text. And then you just click the search. So you see, it does occur in Sutta Nipata, Peta Vattu. Wow, it's, well, exactly. Okay, I've been disqualified. I can't teach Pali anymore. But if you want to look for a hutva, you see 15 times in first book of Digha Nikaya, 13 times in here, 15, 10, 32 times in the Samyutta Nikaya, 46 times in the Upadana, much, much more. See a bit more common. Okay, but bhavitva does occur. So I'm sorry for misleading you.
What is the NA?
Okay, the NA, that form is a somewhat more elegant form of the gerund, which is usually used in verse. It's like a more elevated type of language. But in normal prose, you'll just see it with the TVA ending. Okay, so we have bhavitva or hutva, then for Labhati, Labhidva, and also there's an irregular one. Do they give the irregular ones? For Labhidva, there's an irregular gerund, which is Ludva. I think they'll point that out when you come across it, so don't worry about it. Okay, for despises, or actually garahati is better, criticize, to criticize or to blame. Garahitva. Then neti, netva, deseti, desetva. Here are a few irregular ones. Karoti gives katva. Gachati, to go, gives guntva. Sunoti or sunati, to hear, sutva. To drink, pivati, pitva. Pasati, to see. We get a form based on a different root, disva. From deity to give, dutva, janati, often it forms directly on the root, so you get nyatva, so sometimes you can get janitva. Oh, here we have labhati to get ladda. Yeah, the one I put on the board is there. And then there are other ways to form the gerund, which is using the ya ending. We've already had this in Lily de Silva. So you can read this over and also review the section on the gerund in the Pali Primer. And then they have here a section on the present participle in mana. So this present participle suffix can be added, or affix can be added, you know, directly to the stem to form a present participle. So we have gachati, goes, gachamana, one who is going, upajati, is born or arises, upajamana, arising. Then for the verbs that belong to the class with the e, like deseti, then that e gets turned into aya, desaya mana. Then going on to page 53, there are a few present participles. This is 4.2, which use the present participle stem as ana rather than mana. And so one example of this is the form from upadiyati is, the finite verb, which means to cling, one clings. Then the present participle, positive, would be upadiya. Upadiyano, clinging, one who is clinging. And then this is the negation, unupadiyano, one who is not clinging. Then another form with ano is in this samapajano, So this is based on the verb pujanati. One understands with the prefix here, or the prefix samma, meaning properly, correctly, fully. So here we have samma pujano. One fully understands, or one comprehends. Okay, then section 5 here is the feminine present participle in I or the longue. Let's see what they say. The present participle in ant may form a feminine verbal noun by tafe. Again, you know, the grammatical language, it's, I always like to see examples. They form a feminine verbal noun by taking the affixes of an I-stem feminine noun. The usual sense is she who does the action of the verb. Present participle in ant. Let's see, 1.23. Okay, I see what they're referring to. Okay, so what one is doing in making the feminine present participle is one is taking the affix, I'm sorry, one is taking this ant, infix, is that what you call this? An insertion to make a present participle? The ant, what it inserts, and then one takes the endings of the I-stem feminine noun. So if you look on page 6, under 1.23, it would be, actually it would be 1.232 on page 6, the example of river. So you have the nominative with the long I, so here would be dainty, the accusative would be dainting, the indirect cases, genitive, dative, instrumental, ablative, locative would be daintya. The other locative would be daintyung. Then plural would be daintyo. Then genitive, dative, etc. daintinung. Instrumental ablative daintihi. And locative daintisu. They take, because deity has an E in the stem and karoti has an O, so the A drops off, but the NT joins with DE, so you get dainty, and the NT joins with karo to get karonti. Then they say the mana present participle, however, takes the endings of a feminine a-stem when it is used as a noun. don't worry about these explanations. You know, I don't understand them. I just know when I see the examples. Okay, so the endings of the feminine A stem you find on page 18. So for gachamana will be like declined, like the noun sala. So gachamana, gachamanung, gachamanaya, gachamanayung, then plural, gachamanayo, or gachamana, genitive dative, gachamanung, instrumental ablative, gachamanahi, and locative, gachamanasu. Any questions on anything covered so far? Suki.
The 4.2, I have a question about the construction of a sammapajano coming from sammapajanati.
Yeah.
Isn't it supposed to be sammapajanano? Is like A and A. Anupadiano comes from anupadiyati.
Yeah.
So you take a T off and then you put no there.
Yeah.
But in case of sanapajanati,
yeah,
if you take a T off,
yeah,
you still have a J A N A.
Yeah.
But sammapajanano doesn't have the last N A before N O. Am I saying?
Oh, I think I see your point. You mean it seems like it should be pajanano. You mean that you should have the J A N, then A N O? Is that what you're saying?
Right. No.
Yeah, but it isn't. Sometimes one just has to accept what's come down in speech.
So it's not a mistake, right?
No. Okay, maybe this is enough. You know, there's so much grammar I can take before I start to get indigestion. So let us go. We'll take the rest of the grammar next time. And we'll start looking at some of the reading passages on page 45. Okay, so let us, I'll read first, phrase by phrase, then you repeat after me. Okay, with this first passage, there had been a simile in front of this, which isn't included here. That's why it begins with eva-meva. Eva-meva means in the same way. Basically what the simile said, that there are four corruptions or defilements of the sun and moon, because of which the sun and moon don't shine, blaze, and radiate. I think the four corruptions are clouds, mist, dust, and fog. Okay, so that is not included here. So then the text continues. Okay, now I'll recite and then you repeat. Eva meva ko bhikkhave.
Eva meva ko bhikkhave.
Chataro me. Samana brahmananang.
Samana brahmananang.
Upakilesa.
Upakilesa.
Yehi upakilesehi.
Yehi
Upakilita.
Upakilita.
Eke Samana Brahmana.
Eke Samana Brahmana.
Na tapanti.
Na tapanti.
Na basanti.
Na basanti.
Na virochanti.
Na virochanti.
Okay, so we start off with Eva Meva, which means in the same way. That is, in the same way as in the simile. Then Bhikkhave is vocative. The Buddha is speaking to the monks. So, O monks. Okay, then we have Chitaro Me, which is an abridgment, a short form of Chitaro Ime. Chitaro means four. And what gender is this? Chitaro?
Masculine.
Right. And the number, singular or plural?
Singular.
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 Plural. Is there a singular four? If I have okay, I only have two eyeglasses. But suppose I have four pairs of eyeglasses. How do I say the singular?
Four.
Kent. Okay, so four is always plural. Three and four, two, three, and four are always plural. And now normally in English we would say these four. But in the sutta style of Pali, it's, I think, done to be a little bit eloquent or a little bit.
Sorry, the number four. Oh, okay. It was four.
Excuse me?
It was the other four.
You mean like because?
Four, F-O-R.
No, no, this is the number four. Chitaro is but you said masculine. And I said, good. Now I have to take that back.
No, I knew it was masculine because it was talking about the sun.
Well, here it's talking about upakilesa. Upakilesa means defilements. Okay, now normally we would say ime chitaro, these four. But sort of the sutta style of expression, a little bit like elevated, fancy style. So they invert. So it's like four these. Chitaro ime. But in the translation, we would have to say these four. And then in translation, we should understand something like there are these four. Then we have samana brahmananang. What case? Case and number. No. One has to be able to recognize the ending here. Yongshin. It looks like it could be. The thing is that dative is the same as another case. But this is the other one.
Genitive.
Right, I heard it from Kim. And number. Right, it's genitive plural. So it's corruptions of. Samana means ascetics, and Brahma, of course, Brahmana is Brahmins. And it seems that what's being referred to here are renunciant Brahmins, not householder Brahmins. So the Buddha is saying, there are these, O monks, there are these four corruptions or defilements of ascetics and Brahmins. And then he continues, Yehi Upakilesi Upakilita. Now the word Upakilita is a past participle related to the word Upakilesa. So upakilita means defiled or corrupted. And what case is upakilita? Case and number. Plural, but what case? Look at the ending. And then figure out what is it qualifying? What is it describing in the sentence?
The Brahmins and the Samanas.
Right. And what case are those?
Accusative.
No.
Four.
No.
Obstructions for the Brahmin and the Samanas.
No, no, no. We have these, maybe I have to explain this. Maybe not yet familiar with this construction. Okay, so there are these four corruptions of ascetics and Brahmins. Then we have Yehi Upakilesi Upakilita. So Upakilita, now you could see, is describing A.K. Samana Brahmana. And A.K. Samana Brahmana is nominative plural, because they are the subjects of the verb na tapanti, na basanti, na virochanti. So na tapanti, or the verb tapati, means, we could say, to shine. So in this case, they do not shine. Basati, almost the same meaning. What would be a good English word?
I think the first one, they have glow.
Okay,
the
glow. Oh, I see. For tapati, they give glow.
The third one is dazzle.
Oh, they give, for tapati, they give shine, bright. For basati, shines, fourth is bright. But glow is good. Okay. Okay, so ascetics and Brahmins do not glow. Na basanti, do not shine. Na virochanti, do not
dazzle.
Okay, dazzle or radiate, we might say. You look up a thesaurus for different words, meaning blaze is okay. Blaze, shine, glow, radiate, dazzle, whatever you like. Okay, so we have the four defilements, or four corruptions, because of which some, AK means some, ascetics and Brahmins do not glow, do not shine, do not blaze. But then we have this Yehi Upakilesehi Upakalita. Now we could see upakilita, at least suspect it, of being a nominative plural, because upakilita is describing the samana brahmana. So the ascetics and Brahmins are defiled or corrupted, and then we have yehi upakilesehi, which means by certain defilements. And those are the four defilements mentioned in the first part of the sentence. So putting it all together, so evam eva, in the same way, O monks, there are these four defilements of ascetics and Brahmins, defiled by which defilements some ascetics and Brahmins do not glow, do not shine, do not radiate. Do you see the structure here? So, ime upakilesa, these defilements, and then we have the relative clause, inside the sentence, yehi upakile sehi upakilita, by which defilements defiled. Some ascetics and Brahmins do not glow, do not blaze, do not radiate. And then he raises the questions.
So upakilita. Why doesn't it go with upakilesa in the first line?
Yeah, because the upakilesas are not upakilita. Defilements are not defiled, but the people are defiled by defilements. So it's the people, in this case, the ascetics and Brahmins, who are said to be upakilita, defiled. But what does the defilement are the defilements. So it's because of the defilements that the ascetics and Brahmins are defiled.
So what's the subject of this sentence? Is it Samana Brahmana?
There's actually, each clause has its own subject. The opening clause, the subject are upakilesa. So there are, is not stated, but it's implied. So there are these four defilements of ascetics and Brahmins. So that's the first clause, and the subject there are the defilements. Then the second clause, the subject are some ascetics and Brahmins. And those are they are the subject of the verbs do not glow, do not shine, do not radiate. But that subject, ascetics and Brahmins, is described as defiled by these defilements. What is that? Oh, I see. Maybe you.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Upakilesa.
Yeah.
Does that imply higher defilement or greater defilement?
No.
Because the prefix umpa.
Upa.
Upa is means greater or higher.
No, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Actually, the stem form here is kilesa. And upa, I don't know what any special significance. It just gets joined with kilesa. Usually within the suttas, one doesn't find the word kilesa very often. Usually it's either upa kilesa or san kilesa.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what upa kilesa is. That by means of or from? Is it
applicative? No, it's more instrumental.
Okay.
Defiled by these defilements. If we were in normal English, we would translate this. Okay, there are these four defilements of ascetics and Brahmins, defiled by which some ascetics and Brahmins do not glow, and so forth. But in Pali, or at least in this passage, it has yehi upakilesi, yehi upakilesehi. So if you want to translate very literally, then you would say there are these four defilements of ascetics and Brahmins, defiled by which defilements. So that doesn't sound so natural in English. Okay, it's 3:00, so to find out what the four are, you have to come back the next week. we'll stop for the day. Any wrap-up questions? Okay, so we'll end with the three bows to the Buddha. Okay, one time, two times, three times.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay. Okay, welcome. Please go over the grammar. Okay.